3. I told you last week we're going to take probably about 5 or 6 weeks and look at this idea of honoring God and what honor is and things like that. Usually we do a book of the Bible on Wednesday nights, but since we're in the book of Acts on Sunday mornings and the book of Nehemiah on Sunday nights, we're going to take a little break here and just going to look at this. I believe this series will help you, help give some reminders here and be an encouragement to you. I know we enjoyed the book of Haggai, and we're going to be looking forward to that next Old Testament book probably after the spring revival. But tonight we're going to look at honoring God's Word. I remind you of the theme verse or the theme phrase for the series. It says, "For them that honor me," and this was the Lord speaking to Eli, and he's saying, "Look, for them that honor me, I will honor." And I guess something I think is amazing. It says God is saying, "I am going to honor you if you honor me." And last week we talked about how to honor God. We talked about that story. We looked at Hannah and we looked at Samuel and we looked at Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. And we talked about how to honor God is by giving God your best. If you think God is worthy, if you think he is deserving of our honor. And we looked at the book of Revelation, at least brought up the thought that all throughout the book of Revelation says, "Lord, you are worthy of honor. Lord, you are worthy of praise. Lord, you are worthy of glory. Lord, you deserve it all." And last week he said, look, if you're really truly going to honor something, you're going to be willing to give your best. You're going to be willing to give your best. And that's what Hannah did. She didn't give the leftovers. She gave her best. And we also talk about living to please the Lord. And we talk about that story of Samuel was looking to please those that are around him, like Hophni and Phinehas. He wouldn't have turned out the way he did. It says that he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He respected Eli, but his work was for the Lord. And then we also talked about accepting the challenges that God brings in your life. If we're really going to honor him, we're going to accept those things that God brings into your life. So that was kind of how to honor. And we talked about that word honor, and we talked about it from this standpoint, to give weight to. To give honor to means that we're going to give weight to it. It's going to be valuable to us. We ascribe value to it. And today we're going to look at what we should honor. Honoring God's Word. I don't know about you, I hate bringing up illustrations about movies and TV shows that I watched before in the past, because I know I watched some things that I really probably shouldn't have in the past. But I think some of you will remember this. Maybe not Miss Betty. She says she was really young. But remember those old silent movies, and they try to put words to those silent movies, how the lips didn't always match up. See, you guys might remember that. I remember those kung fu movies when they're talking. They do all this talking and then they say it in English. You know, the lips aren't matching up to what the words are saying. And the truth of it, many Christians today, they say they believe God, but there's no reflection in their life. What they're saying is, with my lips, I'm saying I believe, but with my life, I'm not honoring him. It's sort of like just them talking, and you know it's not the original, because there's something wrong there. Their lips, they're saying it, "I honor God." And that's what last week's message was about. Am I honoring the Lord? Or who am I honoring? With my lips, I honor God. But with my actions and my heart, it's just not there. Man, one of the ways we can say that, hey, look, I want to honor the Lord, I want to honor God, I want God to honor me. And once again, I know it's not about accolades, it's not about praise, but we showed you that at the end of last week. What did it say about Samuel? The Lord didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. Everything that Samuel prophesied came true. What was God doing there? He was honoring them. Hophni and Phinehas, say whatever they want. Didn't matter if they came true, because it wasn't going to come true, because the Lord wasn't going to honor them. The Lord wasn't even honoring Eli at that time. He talked about how there hadn't been a vision for quite some time. I know we didn't dig into that passage of scripture quite a bit, but God wasn't speaking to people until Samuel that day. God spoke to his heart. God honored him. And we see God honoring different people throughout scriptures, not lifting them up, because remember, God resisted the proud, but God using them. And God saying, "I see what you're doing. I'm going to bless with what you're doing." That's what we should seek for. So what should we honor? Last week we talked about how we should honor. What should we honor? When we truly believe God, our lives and our lips will begin to align. Here in Genesis chapter number 3, I want you to look at a story of what happens when we do not honor God's word. And if you want to, you can start in Genesis chapter number 2. That's really where the struggle began. In Genesis chapter number 2, verses 16 and 17, God gives a command to Adam. And he says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He came and he put it very plainly. He says, okay, you do this, you're going to die. And you know what? Did Adam and Eve believe in God? Yes, they believed in God. They walked with him, it talked about. They gave some value to him. But the problem is that Adam and Eve end up giving more weight to their conclusions than they did by the very clear instruction of God. They honored themselves above the honor of God. Which one had more value? Which one had more weight? Their own feelings, their own conclusions, their own desires, or God's command? And this is the idea. What are we going to honor? What are we going to give weight to? Are we going to give weight to God's word, or are we going to give weight to our own feelings, our own desires, and our own whatever, conclusions? Here, this is where the struggle starts, and this is something that's gone down throughout all of history. And we see what happens when God's word has no weight in our lives. We use this word weight because of the fact it has to deal with honoring. So I thought we'll read this story here, and I know it's a familiar passage of scripture to many of you, but it is just something that can remind us and help us as we talk about honoring. Adam and Eve did not honor God's word. They honored their own thoughts, they honored the devil's deceives and lies, and they gave more weight to that. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Verse number 7 will be our last verse that we're going to read for right now. "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Lord, just once again, we're laying our dependence upon you. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to see your scripture. We want to give weight to the word that you have given us, the honor, Lord, that we want to hear what it says. We want to learn from it. We want to make it real and evident to us. We don't want to us be basing our opinions, giving that more weight. Lord, we want to hear what your word says, and we want to apply it to our lives. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this thing, here's what we're going to look at. A story that they did not honor God's word, and a story where they did not give the weight to God's word. They gave it to their opinion. So when you do not honor God's word, what will happen? Here's a few things, and I know you see it on the screen up there. The one thing I don't like about the screen is that you know all 4 points already. But I know it does help you. I know many of you said it helps you carry along and follow along, be able to keep notes. That's great, and that's wonderful. Someday I'm going to get technological enough that when I say a certain point, it's going to come up. And then next point after that, next point, so you can't be knowing where I'm going. Because part of the fun of preaching is trying to get to a certain point, but for right now, we'll let this work. But the first thing I want you to see is that when you do not honor God's word, you will look at it as negotiable. You will look at it as it is negotiable. What do you mean? Well, if Eve really had valued God's word, no matter if the serpent came up, no matter if Adam came up, no matter if whoever came up, you know, could all the animals talk? Could all the animals communicate? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Something to speculate, but it doesn't really matter. But we do know that the serpent said something to her. She wasn't completely surprised by it. She was thinking about it, and she looked at it, and she listened to what the serpent said. And it's a lie that the devil uses so often in people's life. Yea, hath God said. They come and they said to him, you know what? Did God really say you shouldn't do that? Did God really say this? Yea, did God really mean this? And he gets you to question the Word of God. He gets you to question the Bible. He gets you to question the God of the universe who clearly says things in his Word. And you know what ended up happening? You know, women want to use men's bathrooms. Men want to use women's bathrooms. They want to make it legal. They want to make it sound like it's normal. Why is that? They believe lies. And it's, yea, hath God said. Does that really mean this? And you know what? Chapter number 2, when he says this, ye shall surely die. There was no negotiation in there. It was simple. It was plain. It was right on the line. If you eat of this tree, ye shall surely die. That was it. But the problem is, when we don't honor God's word, when we don't let it have the ruling factor in our life, when we don't give it weight, you know what happens? We begin looking at God's word as negotiable. It's amazing how some people actually read the scriptures looking for ways out of certain things. That's very, very, I mean, there's nothing wrong with studying the Bible. There's nothing wrong with being a student of the word of God. But when there's something we just don't like, we start looking for something that we can question it. Negotiating, trying to figure out. God left no room with Adam and Eve for negotiation. He says, you eat of this, you're going to die. So when you don't honor God's word, you'll look at things as they are negotiable. Not only will you look at them as negotiable, you'll also look at them as they are inconsequential. Inconsequential. It says in Genesis 3:4a that it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God gave detailed consequences with no uncertainty, and they believed it, and they says, you know what? It's not going to happen. Book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about how because the punishment of sin doesn't happen just like that all the time, that many times we think we're going to get away with it. The Bible tells us, be sure your sin shall find you out. I tell you that verse scares me. I'm sorry, but I mean, maybe you're all more spiritual than I am, but I don't want my sins to find me out. There's things I'm glad they're hidden. They're back in the past. Thankfully that God's forgiven me for them. But I know sometimes I'm going to have to deal with the consequences of my sin. I might be forgiven. I might be on my way to heaven, but sometimes our sin has consequences. And you know what? I want to live a right life. And this, yes, I want to do it because I love the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I love the Lord. I want to do it with all my heart. It's the best reason, but also the fact that I don't want my sin to be out there. I don't want my sin to be found out. I want to do what's right. There's consequences to my sin. I don't want to do things that's going to cause problems. It's just simply put. You know, our sin has consequences. We are going to sow what we reap. Whether it be here in this life or the life to come, There's consequences to our sin. And so when you don't value God's word, you don't put honor to God's word, first of all, you're going to say, look, maybe this is negotiable. Secondly, you're going to say, you know, is this inconsequential? Is there really going to be any consequences to these sins? Next thing I want you to see here in this story, and it's another lie. And boy, the devil's really good at this, because he will tell you, did God really mean that? Oh, no, you're really not going to get punished for that. You might get a little slap on the wrist, but really you're not going to get punished for that. And then you see the next one, he says, it seems like it will be viewed as restraining. You know, so how often does the world tell you, hey, you shouldn't listen to that Bible, you shouldn't listen to God, is what the devil's saying. There's a better path. He's trying to take something from you. He's trying to take your fun away from you. He's trying to make things look like God's holding something back. I don't know about you, but that's just dumb. You think about it. God sent his son into this world to die for us. He gives us grace. He gives us mercy. But it doesn't just stop there. He offers us peace. One of the requests tonight was for peace. I mean, the peace that the world cannot buy. The peace that the world looks for in drugs and alcohol and fame and what power and all those things, that's something they can't have without Jesus Christ. So it's a peace. And then you see, you know, the way of the transgressor is hard. Sin has consequences. It is a troublesome thing. It ruins families. It hurts families. It hurts countries. It hurts churches. You know, sin is bad. But the devil here is saying in verse number 5, he said, look, God's trying to hold something back for you. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil told him to lie. Look, if you don't honor God's word, you're going to think that God's taking something back from you. He's going to say, God's holding something back from you. How many times have we heard young people say that? I don't want to honor God's word. I don't want to believe what God's word says because it looks like everybody else is having so much fun. I want to be able to wear this. I want to be able to watch this. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. That's what the devil's saying. God is trying to hold something back from you. But you know what God's trying to do is keep you from a life that's miserable. You're his child. He wants what's best for you. What does it say in 1 John 5:3? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And this next phrase, and his commandments are not grievous. They are not a heartache. They are not grievous. The love of God that we know, when we say God is good and God is great and God is loving, then how can we look at some of his rules and say, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? And that's what we're doing is we're not honoring God's word. If we honor God's word, we're not going to view it as negotiable. If we honor God's word, we're going to say, you know what? There is consequences here. I'm going to obey this. I'm going to listen to this. We're not going to see it as God restraining something from us. We're going to see it that God is building a life for us that is going to honor him, that's going to please him, that's going to save us from a bunch of heartaches. I don't ever like to think I'm trying to brag at all, but I am thankful that I grew up in a home where, you know, God kept me and protected me from some things of this world. I was a dirty, rotten sinner. I mean, I was prideful, this and that, but I'm thankful that I've never drank or never smoked or never did those things. I'm thankful I can have that testimony. And I tell young people, you know what? That's just as good a testimony as anybody else's. Don't ever be apologizing for that, okay? You know, it's great that I was saved from those things. I know many of you would say, I wish that I had that different testimony. Okay, next thing you see here, not only if you don't honor God's word, you're going to also see things that your way is the best way. Look what it says in verse number 6 here. Eve begins reasoning in her mind. It says, when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She began thinking about it. It started over here that it's negotiable. Devil got him a chance to believe lies. You're not going to die. And the devil then begins to start saying, look what God's holding back from you. Then it makes you think, you know what? Maybe I do know a little bit more. Maybe I am a little bit smarter. Maybe I have figured this out. Maybe I'm more enlightened. Maybe I have more what's going on. It's either we're going to honor God with our lives, we're going to honor his word, or we're going to honor what we think. And so many times it's dangerous when we try to draw our own conclusions and we come up with all these different factors and say, this is the way I'm going to do it. You know, the problem plainly stated is unbelief. In a sense, we could say that sin is always birthed in unbelief. A belief is that we accept something to be true. Unbelief is rejecting what God said is true. People say, well, I just don't believe. That's non-existent. We all believe in something. Some of us believe that we are our own gods. Some of us believe this. Or we all believe in something. And he just chose here and Adam to draw their own conclusions. We can see it. It's natural. We can see it normal. We can see that it's there and we're like looking at it and we're thinking, you know what? That would be pretty good. I know what God's word says, but if I did this and if I change this around, my life could be better. What are we honoring? Are our conclusions better or God's word better? The last thing I want you to see in this is that when we don't honor God's word, we will reap consequences. I know I highlighted that earlier, but the truth is, you see in verse number 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed the fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And we just know that's the beginning of it. We know that from Adam, the sin nature has been passed down generation to generation to generation to generation. And what happens here, there's a transition. When we give no weight to the word of God, we are in essence glorifying ourselves and robbing God of the glory that belongs to him. We are saying, I know better and more than God. And I know some of you might be thinking in your mind, I know a verse that does that. And that's in Romans chapter 1 verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Notice what we will do with truth when we disregard God's word. Who change God's truth into a lie, it says in Romans 1:25. Now, I know what you're saying. That verse deals with homosexuality. Pastor, that's completely different, completely off. And off. You're talking to believers, you're talking Christians, you're talking to a Wednesday night crowd. Well, what we're doing is that they've changed the truth of God into a lie. And that's what Eve did here. God's truth, God's word, she believed a lie into the thinking that she was going to be just fine. She did not honor God's word. It says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. A few verses later, it says, they changed the truth of God into a lie. This means that they traded truth for their own thinking. Their own reasoning had greater value, greater weight than God's. And this must change. What are we honoring? Are we honoring God's word? Or we honor our own conclusions. Don't get me wrong, it's easy to honor our own conclusions. We think we're smarter than probably what we are, and we think we have it figured out. If we can just change a few things here, change a few things there, then our life will be much better. If I could only do this, if I could only get my family to love me, if I could only get my boss to give me a raise, if I only worked maybe 1 year and skipped church on Sunday night so I can make up, you know, we honor our own thinking. We give weight to it. People, the Bible says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What is the saying there? Let's give weight to God's word. Second thing, you see here what will happen when people do not honor God's word. I want you to see what happens when we begin to give weight to God's word. When we begin to honor God's word. Why don't you take your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter number 55, you have a passage of scripture here that gives you a little bit of what understanding that happens when we give honor to God's word. In Isaiah chapter 55, some of these verses will be familiar to you, but this is what happens when you start looking at God's word and say, okay, I'm going to believe God's word. It's Isaiah chapter number 55. We're going to look at verses 7 through 9 when we find it there. In Isaiah chapter 55, it gives us what happens when we give weight to the word of God, give honor to the word of God. We do certain things. Isaiah chapter 55 verse number 7 says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here's a couple things that happens when we honor God's word. First thing is we forsake our own reasoning. We forsake our own reasoning. It says we will forsake the way birthed in our own reasoning. It means the idea that things that we come of our own thoughts, our own opinions, our own values, our own conclusions, we're going to forsake those. Where do you see that in the passage of scripture? It says it right there. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You say, Pastor, you're calling me wicked. You're calling me unrighteous. If we are trading in what God's word says for our own thinking, yes, that's what we are going to be. We're not going to be doing righteous things. It's interesting how many times people justify so many things in their mind when they're relying on their own thoughts. And I've heard it. We've seen it. We can pretty much justify anything in our mind. You know, when those guys flew those airplanes through on 9/11 through those Twin Towers, they were justified in their mind. They were doing what was right. The people that crucified Jesus thought they were doing God a favor. Saul was zealous, because he was doing it for the Lord. They had justified things in their mind. What they had they done is they had put honor to their own conclusions and their own thoughts and not giving weight to God's word. They did not honor his word. But when we honor his word, we will forsake the way that birthed our own reasoning. It says that we will forsake his way. And the unrighteous man will forsake his thoughts. We will get rid of those things. They have not, you can talk about so many different things, but you think about it. Think about coming to church. And the Bible speaks about us let not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. The Bible talks about upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together. The Bible says in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are gathered together. For first of all, when you are come together into the church, over and over in the Bible, it talks about a group together. But some people have reasoned in their mind that I can have church anywhere. I don't need church. I don't need anything to do with church. I don't need a pastor. I don't need, they've reasoned that in their mind. It's because what happened? They are giving more honor to their own thinking than what God thinks. I just think it's amazing if you were part of a team. You know, I like sport illustrations. If you were part of a softball team and you went out there and you played softball for a little while and you dropped out of the team, you didn't come to any of the practices, you didn't come to any of the games, and years later you can say, well, that's my softball team. They would say, who are you? Where you've been at? You haven't been here. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, they're not part of it. And the same thing with a church. You know, many times people drop out. They won't want to participate. They don't want to be part of it. The only time the team functions as a team is when they're part of a team. To forsake a team but to claim membership is pretty much absurd. I was visiting. I'll tell you this, and I'm not, and it's nobody that was here. You know, I was knocking doors when I first came here. I was in a certain area. I knocked on the door, and a lady, I'd been there about 8 or 9 months, and a lady told me, he says, I'm a member of that church. I said, really? I was a little embarrassed, you know, because you're the new guy. You've been there for 8 or 9 months. And so in my mind, I teach junior church, and I teach Sunday school class, so she must only come on Sunday mornings. Because I hadn't seen her. I'd never met her before. And I was kind of embarrassed because I tried to meet everybody. Well, I said, well, I'm sorry. He says, I didn't realize that. I says, I teach in the back on Sunday morning. She says, oh, no, don't feel sorry. She says, I haven't been there for 20 years. 20 years. And she was not joking. She said, I have not been there for 20 years. But I'm a member of that church. Well, I know before I became the pastor, before I got here, I read the Constitution. According to the Constitution, that really isn't technically true, because if you don't show up to church for a certain period of time, then you're put on a certain list, and then after that list, you're just quietly removed from the list just because you don't come. You're not part of the church. And I said to her, I said, well, we'd love to have you back. And I mean, I wasn't going to question her. I wasn't going to say, oh, really? You think you are? No. But here's the thing is, they had reasoned in her mind that even though she had been part of church, put her name on a church roll, she was still part of a church, and it just wasn't the case. And when it comes to our own thinking and our own way of thinking, we need to be careful. If we're going to honor God's word, we're going to forsake our own thinking, and we're going to grab a hold of God's. I don't know about you, I am thankful I don't act upon everything I think about. We think about some pretty dumb things at times. If we're just going to lay it all out there, we probably all have some type of wicked thoughts sooner or later in our lives. And we don't respond on those. Why is that? It's because we're trying to forsake our own thinking. Now, when it's really wicked, of course we wouldn't do that. Well, let's give honor to God's word in all the areas. And let's forsake anything that would be contrary to his way. Second thing is, not only will they forsake the things that were the thoughts that were birthed in their own selfish thinking. Second thing is, they return to the word to establish your thoughts. And that's what it says here. And it says, and let him return unto the Lord. Not only do we forsake our thinking and return to God's way, but we also must forsake the thinking that produced the error. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This past summer, we talked about the mind. We talked about having a clean mind. I don't know, sometime this past year that we did that. And I like that series. We can talk about pulling down strongholds. I really enjoyed that series, but there's so much more room to cover there. Our mind is such a battlefield. But where does it begin? When we give honor to God's word, we forsake our own thinking, and then we return unto the Lord. We cast down the imagination. We cast down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And it says, casting down the imagination, every high thing, anything that comes up in your life that is contrary to the word of God, we cast it down. We get rid of it. It says, casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If it's something that goes against the God, it says, we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. man, I want to do that. I don't want to honor my own thinking. I don't want to honor anything that's going to go against God. But unfortunately, many times this is what we do. It's how we feel. It must be natural. We forget that our heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Stop living in the if-onlys. It's an unrealistic place. Let's give weight to the Word of God. Let's remove these if-onlys. So what do you mean by if-onlys? Well, you think about it. We would say, if my spouse would just be a little bit nicer, then I could do what God wanted me to do. If I wasn't created this way, if I wasn't just made this way, I could stop doing this. If my children would respect me, then I could be a good parent. If my boss would listen to me, then I could be a better worker. If my parents would trust me, then I could obey them. You know, we're making up these excuses. If, it's contingent. Now the truth is, are we going to give honor to God's word or give honor to our thinking? If I could do the things I used to do, then I'd live for God. You know, over and over, there's a lot of ifs. We got to say, okay, I'm forsaking these things. I'm returning unto God. And here's the next part. It's pretty cool. Is we experience God's mercy and forgiveness. You keep on reading here. It says, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. I like that. I mean, I need mercy. I need God's mercy. And to our God, for he will abundantly. I like that. Abundantly. What's that word means? Multiply. Abundantly. Abundantly pardon. God desires to heap abundant mercy on his children. Then mercy produces more mercy and more mercy and so on. If it goes back to the beginning. If we will honor God, God says, I will honor them that honor me. And once again, I'm not seeking accolades. I'm not seeking praise. I'm not wanting to be lifted up. I just want God to be honoring what I'm doing. He wants to give weight to what I'm doing. I don't want to live this Christian life. I don't want to be studying and reading and witnessing and doing all these things and just be busy, busy, busy and not accomplish anything. I want God to give weight to the things I'm doing so he can bless them and so he can be used, so it can be used by God. It doesn't have to have fruit that appears right away, but it needs to be something that means, it has weight for, it has meaning, it has purpose to it. We also, last but not least, we accept God's way. We accept God's way. We see that God's way is better than our ways. And you see here verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's right there. You know, God's ways are definitely higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And we got to learn to give it to him. When we try to mix our own thinking and God's thinking together, it's very destructive. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We can't have our own thinking and God's thinking combined. There's going to be a problem. I'll end with this. You know, sometimes a parent knows a little bit more than a child. And sometimes they do. You know, they get smarter nowadays, and sometimes they teach you things. But sometimes I watch my sons, and I explain my sons. I like to try to let them make their own mistakes. I'm not talking about sin, but I'm talking about in certain situations. And I'll say to them, okay, son, this is the way I think you should do it. And they'll say, oh, no, 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 I'd like to be able to do it this way. Now, I could force them, and they're obedient, and they would listen to me. And they would say, if I could, can I do it this way? Well, son, I really think you should take your money and use it here, or I think you should use your time here. But if this is what you really want, you're obedient in other areas, it's not a sin, you can do things your own way. And in my whole mind thinking, I'm thinking, you know what? In the end, they're going to come back and say, you know what? You're a right dad. And there's been many times when they've come back and said, you know what, dad? I should have listened to you. You're right. And what are you getting at? You know, God, how many times have we gone back to God and said, God, I should have listened to you. You were right. You knew more than me. And I don't know more than lots of people, but sometimes, you know, your sons, they've grown through things. You know a little bit more than your children, especially when they're younger. You know, you want to save that, or you want to do it this way. You want to say it this way. And then you're thinking in your mind, it's much better the other way, but you're going to let them learn their lessons so that they can understand that sometime that when it's something really important, you can say, you know what, dad was right there. I bet you dad's going to be right here too. And I'm not saying that I'm God in any way, shape, or form, but I am saying that when we realize that God's ways are the best ways, when we realize that his thoughts They're higher than our thoughts. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything about us, and He still likes us. I mean, that's amazing. He still loves us. He still wants to save us. He still wants to use us, and He knows what is best for us. We got to say, Lord, I'm going to honor Your word because I know Your ways better than my ways. It doesn't make any sense for me to forgive that person. It doesn't make any sense for me to fight off that nervousness or the anxiousness. It doesn't make any sense for me to give when You tell me to give. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But God, I'm going to honor Your word because I know that Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are higher than my ways. Who are we going to give honor to? I know it's pretty easy as we looked at last week. Yes, we're supposed to honor God. The question is, are we honoring God? So we got this. Okay, I know who I'm supposed to honor. I'm supposed to honor God. Now, how do I honor God? I honor His word. I look at His word. I give weight to His word. I give importance, credence, whatever words you want to use for it. It has value to me. Its value is greater than anything I can come up with. Adam and Eve, we pick on them, but we've done the same thing over and over. I know they didn't have a sin nature. I get it, but they had that option, that opportunity to fail. And that opportunity to sin. Just like we have, the same as after we become Christians, we have the ability to say no. How many times do we say yes still? What are we doing? We're honoring our word, our thoughts, our conclusions, our reasoning. We're giving more honor to that than we are to God's word. Who should we honor? God. What should we honor? His word. God says in Malachi, where is my honor? And that's one of the passages of scripture we'll look at sometime soon. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.